Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Acts chapter 24, verses 1 through 21. The Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Acts chapter 24. And after 5 days, the high priest Ananias came down with some elders and spokesmen, one Tertullus. They laid before the governor their case against Paul. And when he had been summoned, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "Since through you we enjoy much peace, and since by your foresight, most excellent Felix, reforms are being made for this nation, in every way and everywhere we accept this with all gratitude, but to detain you no further, I beg you in your kindness to hear us briefly. For we have found this man a plague, one who stirs up riots among all the Jews throughout the world and is a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to profane the temple, but we seized him. By examining him, you yourself will be able to find out from him about everything of which we accuse him." The Jews also joined in the charges, affirming that all these things were so. And when the governor had nodded to him to speak, Paul replied, "Knowing that for many years you have been a judge over this nation, I cheerfully make my defense. You can verify that it is not more than 12 days since I went up to worship in Jerusalem, and they did not find me disputing with anyone or stirring up a crowd, either in the temple or in the synagogues or in the city. Neither can they prove to you what they now bring up against me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the unjust and the unjust. So I always take pains to have a clear conscience toward God and man. And now after several years, I came to bring alms to my nation and to present offerings. While I was doing this, they found me purified in the temple without any crowd or tumult. But some Jews from Asia, they ought to be here before you and to make an accusation, should they have anything against me. Or else let these men themselves say what wrongdoing they found when I stood before the council. Other than this one thing, that I cried out while standing among them, it is with respect to the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you this day." In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. A seemingly boring text with side details about the New Testament. Ah, but not so. A great text to teach us the two kingdoms doctrine. That is, there's the kingdom of the right hand, the church. The highest authority is the Word of God. And there's a kingdom of the left hand, government, which has the highest authority, the Ten Commandments, as they agree with reason, and reason itself. And we're having quite an exercise right now in two kingdoms doctrine and practice. In fact, every single entity, not only the 6,000 parishes, but all the social ministry organizations, and indeed every one of the almost 2 million members is dealing with this teaching this very instant. So it's more than 6 feet social distancing, and I can see that you are all at least 2 or 3 rows back. That is normal Lutheran anti-social distancing. So I'm glad some things have remained the same. A great text. Paul is returning. He returned from his great swing through all the mission provinces to collect money for the poor in Jerusalem. That's why he went back to Jerusalem. That's why he gets in trouble with the Jews. That's why he gets in trouble with the Romans. That's why he gets sent off to Caesar. And that's why he's finally martyred in at a little place outside the walls of Rome at the time. And that's why even today he's buried in St. Paul's outside the walls in Rome. In fact, the last pope opened the grave just for a little experimenting, and they determined that the bones were from a first century Jew. In fact, they were shards of clothing from a first century Jew. And we can expect that it is, in fact, St. Paul's very body. Well, this Paul brought that money back to Jerusalem. And while he was there, he had a couple of his converts with him who weren't Jews. And where he got in trouble in Asia with those silversmiths in Ephesus that caused a riot, and he wanted to speak before them, and his friends said, "Get out of there, Paul, we're getting you out of here." Well, a couple of the Jews from Ephesus who had gotten in trouble up there happened to be in Jerusalem. And what did they do? They recognized a couple of those Asian converts, and they ratted him out. And they said he was bringing unclean, uncircumcised men into the temple where it wasn't allowed. It was a false charge. And so Paul is taken custody by the Jews. Now, they had a lot against him. Over against the Roman government, which was increasingly forcing its pagan practices on these Jews, a sect was really rising to the fore called the Zealots. And they were zealous to keep the teachings of the fathers. They wouldn't give them up. They wanted to keep it like it was. And so the situation was ripe for Paul to get in trouble, even though he was innocent. So Paul appears in the first case before the governor down at Caesarea Philippi, where the governor resided. This Felix had been appointed by Claudius. Claudius kicked all the Jews out of Rome just probably a year before this account because of one Crestus Christ, and the Jews were stirring up such problems with the Christians in Rome. So it was a hot issue. And so the Jews... officialdom, their lawyer, Tertullus, makes the case against him. Riots! Kingdom of the left. No kingdom of the left wants riots. That's a bad thing. That's out of control. That's not law and order. That's not Roman. And then they accuse him of profaning the temple. Religious. Right hand. Even though false. And then the witnesses came forward and said, "Yes, he did this." But alas, they weren't really witnesses. They hadn't actually seen it. In fact, Paul then makes his, and the word is, apologia. He goes before a civil authority and makes his defense. Is it right for us to be able to go as Christians before civil authorities and make our defense and case? Plead innocence? It certainly is. Paul says that he had been in Jerusalem, but they didn't find him stirring up a crowd. They're the ones that caused the crowd. And Paul was there because, and he wisely shifts it to the kingdom of the right, but he says, "I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down in the law and written in the prophets." By the way, you want to be a good Christian today? Believe the Bible. Just like Paul, and just like Jesus, having hope in God, which these men themselves accept, and there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. So I always take pains to have a clear conscience toward God and man. After several years, I brought alms up to Jerusalem. Paul had worked on those gifts for the poor in Jerusalem, suffering persecution and famine. He had worked on it for 10 years, brings a huge gift for them. And then he says the Jews from Asia ratted him out. And I'm here because of the resurrection of the dead. a wise move because the Jewish leaders disagreed over it. The Sadducees said there is no resurrection, and the Pharisees said there is, in fact, one. Paul makes use of this story, this system of government, as you'll see soon in Acts, and he appeals to Caesar, and he's taken to Rome. It was not too far from this time where he wrote the book of Romans. And in the 13th chapter of the book of Romans, it says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities." Mind you, when he's writing this, you know who is emperor? Nero. He hadn't actually turned as horrible as he would become, but believe me, read Suetonius' Lives of the Caesars. These guys are bad times 10. They're like a virus, coronavirus on overdrive in the government. Bad, bad men. And yet Paul says, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God." Really? Well, insofar as governments keep order, have laws, protect people from murder, mayhem, insofar as they grant the gospel and the conscience freedom, they are from God. No matter if they're dictators or anything else. So far as they inhibit the gospel, act unjustly, and prohibit freedom of the conscience, they are not from God. And it's an insofar as circumstance. There is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. However, is it wrong to resist governments when they are wrong and when they inhibit the gospel? We read on. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but bad. But if a ruler is a terror to good conduct, then that ruler, in fact, may be resisted. Particularly if that person or government or system inhibits religious freedom. And we have found ourselves in this country in recent years having to act. In fact, our lawyers regularly send me requests and approvals for joining in amicus briefs with other entities that are suing the federal government or suing for religious freedom. And we fight with those individuals in the courts all the time for our religious protections and freedoms and those for our countrymen. For rulers, would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. So, in these days when governments make mandates and strong recommendations about even things that affect our religious practice, out of love for a time, we will be as flexible as possible. We realize, and I think Dr. Fauci has it right, and he studied, I was told this morning, he studied the great flu from 1918, and Philadelphia did not take many measures as we're taking today, while St. Louis did, and the death rate in Philadelphia skyrocketed, and St. Louis had very few deaths. So, out of honoring the fourth commandment, honoring authorities that God has given us, we restrain our freedoms, and we try to act in the most responsible way. If the government said you can't have the sacrament, or you can't ultimately even worship together, then we would have to say, no, we can't go for that. But we can, for a time, out of love toward our neighbor, act in this way. And so it's also a fifth commandment issue. so that we act in ways that are going to care for our neighbor, our family, and others in this challenging circumstance. And finally, we know absolutely certainly that the Lord shall bless through all of this. After having been around a while to have a little gray hair, I can remember a lot of these circumstances. This is a big one, but there have been other large circumstances like tsunamis and things the Synod has been through in our lifetimes. And the Lord always works them for good in various ways, and good especially for the gospel, and good for us as we contemplate things that really matter in life, like whom we love, who we let in regularly into that 6-foot circle. And the fact that our Lord Christ loves us dearly and is working even this thing for the good and advance of the gospel. That's for sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the Reverend Joel and Clarion Fritchie, who serve the Lord in the Dominican Republic. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.